We've been talking about sowing to the Spirit, using the term cultivating to the Spirit being the inner man, so that we can become fortified with power, strengthened in the inner man, and learn to be led by the Spirit within. So we need our inner man, where the Spirit of God dwells, to guide the rest of us. We need that guidance. And we talked about last week this process of cultivation from the old man to the new spiritual man involved the need to put away the old man, to plow the old under. The Bible uses the term break up our fallow ground. Then the new man, the inner man, can begin to be cultivated. We can begin to sow to it, cultivate those graces from Christ through His Spirit that will cause the inner man to be strengthened and fortified and flourish. And what we'll see as a result of that is a greater and greater transformation into Christ-likeness. So this spiritual life is a progression from infancy to adulthood. The Apostle John actually addressed three particular stages of development. In his letter, 1 John, he says, I write to you children. He says, I write to you young men. And I write to you fathers. So even John recognized that we pass from one stage into another. We're all born again as babes, right? That's we're born again as if it wouldn't it be nice if we had been born again fully mature? We never had to stumble. There was no imbalance, and we just stayed on our feet and everything worked out. But that's not how it is. God, in His wisdom, chose to make it a process, a developmental process. And so it's much like physical development, right? Physical development can be affected by nurture and environment. How much care is given and the environment in which that care is can affect the development of a child. Spiritual development is also subject to positive and negative influence. Okay? So your inner man, my inner man, our inner man doesn't just grow automatically. That would be nice if it did. Bad influences can cripple us. Poor nutrition can weaken us. And limiting our spiritual potential, or even delaying it. So it's not automatic. We need to be careful to tend to our inner spiritual man. And this is shown in the book of Hebrews. In the book of Hebrews chapter 5 verse 12. Read this verse with me. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. Recognize that. Do you see that? For though by this time you ought to be. That means there's a progression that is not automatic. These particular believers were not where they should be in their development. And as a matter of fact, they were regressing. They were actually going backwards. That's not happening. We start off needing milk, and we go from there to needing meat. But they had gone, or they had stopped. It's kind of, you can read it either way. They had come to the place where they were needing milk, and they were stuck there. Or they had regressed back there. I'm not sure. Either way, they were stuck in this place where this phase of child. They were still in this childhood developmental stage spiritually. And look what he said the remedy. If a Christian is in this condition, if they're stuck in a childhood stage of development, or they're not progressing, notice the remedy. Here's what he said. You need someone to go back and teach you what are the first principles. So these first principles are the remedy to someone stuck in a non-developing phase of their Christian spiritual life. So, wouldn't it behoove us to know what these first principles are? What are these first principles? These basic building blocks of spiritual life. These growth factors that if you're missing can actually cause you to be developmentally delayed in your inner man, in your spiritual life. So today, we're just going to focus on one. Just one of these first principles, this basic building block of our spiritual growth, okay? And we're going to start by looking in Proverbs chapter 1. And we're going to read Proverbs chapter 1, but here's an example of how Paul said that all Scripture has been breathed from God. It's inspired by God and it's profitable for teaching and correcting and training in righteousness. So we can see in here, in this Proverbs chapter 1, a very basic building block, a first principle of spiritual growth, right here in Proverbs chapter 1, verses 2 through 5. So read with me. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. Do you see it? What's the first principle in that verse for increasing? What's the key to increasing? A wise man will hear. Hearing is the first principle of developing spiritually. Have you ever heard that before? He who has ears to hear, let him hear. This is what our Lord knew, that the key to make any progress as a disciple was hearing. As a matter of fact, in the parable of the sower, which you can find in Matthew 13 and Luke chapter 8 or Mark chapter 4, it's in three of the four Gospels. He summarizes the parable at the end of the parable, which is a parable about how people hear. He summarizes it this way: be very careful how you hear, for with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to every single church in the book of Revelation, there are seven churches addressed in Revelation chapter 2 and 3. And to every single one, the last thing that the angel of the Lord gave as a message to each church was this: let him who has ears to hear what the Spirit says to the churches. But what if we have a hearing problem? Some of you know what I'm talking about. What if we're just living with it? Some of you do that. Some of you live with just missing out on anything that's said below your decibel level. You see the mouth moving? And it just, you wish. Doesn't it make you feel isolated? You're missing out on something. But you know, the reason I'm pointing this out is people are willing to live in a condition where they're not hearing things accurately. But for some of these people, they don't want a hearing aid. I don't want one of those things. They've tried. Some of them have tried. Some of them say they don't work, or they pick up too much background noise. But you can have a hearing problem and refuse to try or use a hearing aid. So I have a question. How do you treat a loss of hearing that's not caused by something physical? What causes someone to stop listening? You know what I'm talking about. You know when you're talking to someone and they have stopped listening, or they've never started. You were talking before they even tuned you in. What kind of hearing loss is that? What kind of hearing loss is it when you stop listening, when you have the capacity to hear, but you're just not hearing. Here's what kind of hearing loss it is. It's a loss of interest, isn't it? It's a loss of passion. It's a loss of motivation. It's a loss of purpose. You know when we listen best? When we anticipate. How many of you have been in a situation where that son or daughter or that grandson or granddaughter or that good friend was going to call you in the evening? And though you went about doing other things, what were you doing? You were anticipating the telephone. Or if they were stopping by your house, you may be busy doing things, but you were listening for, you were anticipating the doorbell, weren't you? Because when you're anticipating something, you're tuned in to it. And hearing peaks when our interest is high. I see this all the time. I have this precious gift of a special needs daughter named Anna. Most of you here know her. There are times a mom has to go to the store, and Anna is left with me, which is fine. Anna is willing to stay with me, even though she is glued at the hip to her mom. She'll tolerate that. But it's amazing how we'll be upstairs. Anna's sitting in her chair. I'm sitting right there. Anna just has this look. And I think she can hear the sounds of the tires hitting the driveway. or the knob at the front door. But you should see it. You should see when she has heard what she has been listening for the entire time. I mean, it just starts. She starts getting happy. Because she has been anticipating that sound ever since her mom left. But if you lose that, the hearing becomes pretty dull. We can tune people out. You know how lack of interest muffles sometimes what we hear too? How many of you know are familiar with Charles Schulz and his famous character Charlie Brown? You remember those shows where Charlie Brown is sitting at his desk in the classroom and his teacher's talking? Remember what he hears? Wah, 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 wah. Sometimes that's how I think we hear in God. Wah, 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 wah. What did the pastor say today? Wah, 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 wah. You know what can happen. You can sit there, and I'm talking to you, and you're nodding your head, and you're going, wah, 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 wah. Someone could ask you right after service, what did the pastor say? Wah, 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 wah. You know, try to make it look good. But you know, when something fascinates us, we use the expression, don't we? We're all ears. That means we have both ears. Both ears are in gear and ready to hear the sound. You know, because matters that interest us, they perk up the ears. You know this. We know this by experience. So what we need to realize is that when we have experienced a loss of spiritual hearing, that it's not really a problem with the ears, is it? Jesus said this about anticipation, for wherever your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Do you see that? What's right in the middle of your heart? What's right in the middle of your heart? Your ear is. That's where your ear is. When your heart is focused on the treasure of what God has to say, your ears will be open to receive it. It's a heart thing. Listening begins in the heart. Because pleasure and treasure That's what he said. Wherever your treasure is, that's where your pleasure or your heart will be also. And it's a delight to hear the sound of his voice. Oh, that song. I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear. The Son of God discloses. He speaks, and the sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing. And the melody he gave to me within my heart is ringing, because he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share it as we tarry there none other has never known. See, the more we care, the better we'll hear. You see that? So the remedy for the loss of hearing that's not physical is a restoration of what we value. Because whatever we value the most, we pursue the most. So now let's go back to Proverbs. Proverbs is another great book where these first principles are. And here Solomon, who had been given wisdom by God, express this beautiful truth of this caring about what we listen to. In Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, he says, "My son, if you receive my words," and you know what? I'm sorry, the English language just doesn't cut it when it compares to the original language. Because in the original language, especially particularly the Septuagint, the Greek version of the Old Testament, the word is dekamai. And dekamai means this: to consider, think about it, and accept. So let's put it that way. My son, if you think about it, if you'll consider it, and if you'll accept my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your... You know what an incline is, don't you? An incline is a leaning. You lean when you really want to hear something. What do you know what you do? Is that your posture to the Lord? Is that what he sees? Does he see you doing that? Draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. Incline your ear to wisdom. Apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment, and if you lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, if that's how you're looking. You know, a person only looks for treasure if he thinks the treasure is there. Some of us have lost the sense of the treasure of God's Word. And you know how I know? We spend very little time digging, right? You know, as I thought about this, digging. How many precious gems or minerals, like gold or silver or diamonds or any precious, how many of them are just laying around on the surface? I know it can happen occasionally, but usually even in those places, it's a place where someone has been doing some mining. For nearly every treasure that's precious, doesn't there have to be some digging and some separating? Because we have a Bible, perhaps not on every single verse or every single chapter, maybe not every single time you read, you're going to hit that sweet treasure spot. But those who dig and they're looking for treasure, I guarantee you, you'll find it if you're looking for it. So if you seek her as silver and you search for her as hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. If that's your heart attitude, H-E-A-R-T, your ear will be ready to hear. Okay? In two parables, as we close, Jesus gave two parables that illustrate this illustration of blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, because what? They will be filled because of their hungering. They have that passion for what they're looking. The two parables are just a verse each. Matthew 13:44 is one parable. And it's a parable about the kingdom of God. Now, you know what the kingdom of God means simply? The kingdom of God is the spiritual life of God on the earth. Because the kingdom of God is spirit. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So when Jesus talks about the kingdom of God, He's talking about spiritual life here on earth. So the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it, he goes and sells all he has and buys that field. Now you put yourself in the place of that man finding that treasure. Did he need anybody in his life to tell him he needed to sell what he had and buy that field? Tell me what he's going through. He's walking through this field and he comes across an amount of treasure. And he realizes that the field is for sale. What do you think happened? How long did it take him to think, if I buy this field and this treasure becomes mine, I'm going to be rich? That's why it says in his joy. You know what the joy was? The joy was anticipating what was about to be his. And those who are anticipating the good things that God wants to do in their life, they don't need a preacher telling them, you ought to read your Bible. They don't need a preacher telling them, you ought to spend time praying. All that means is you haven't found the treasure yet. Because if you realize how rich the treasure of God was, you don't need me to telling you what you should do. You'll run right over me on the way to do what you're driven to do. See, that's what when I genuinely got saved, I was a bull in a china shop in the church because I was so hungry I didn't have any manners. I just expected that everybody should feel like I do, and I just couldn't understand where all the complacency and the apathy was. You had to backslide to get into fellowship with people. The kingdom of God just shouldn't be like that. Because anticipation is all the motivation you need. If you're tasting and seeing that God is good, man, when I taste something like tres leches, it's like, you're cutting that piece too small. Today is not the day to count calories. My mouth starts watering. I'm anticipating. When you tasted and seen that the Lord is good, you listen. You're listening. The other parable is very similar. It's the next verse, Matthew 13:45. And again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had, and he bought it. Wow. A merchant of pearls would recognize how valuable this pearl of great price was. But you know who wouldn't recognize that pearl of great price? You know what that pearl would look just like any other to a pig? That's why Jesus says, do not cast your pearls before swine. Pig can't tell the difference between a pea and a pearl. And you cast your pearls before a pig, they just think you're feeding them. And they think you've got feed on you, and they're going to turn and just, they're going to get it. So they'll turn and rend you. So Jesus even cautioned his servants, only give what's valuable to those who have the ability to appreciate how valuable it is. You know what? We give food out on Saturdays. It's valuable to me. But you know what? I don't give pearls out on Saturday. We offer Jesus every Saturday. But you know what? Some people are only looking for scraps and not Jesus. That's fine. I'll be happy to give them that. But oh, I delight when there's a Clemente back there, someone like that, who wants more than just food. Because his spirit has picked up that there's something more valuable than meat, than chicken. We always will invest ourselves in what, and when we recognize the value of the opportunity we have, won't we? We'll always do that. So, we'll begin to regain a sensitive spiritual hearing when we recover the vision, okay, the vision of how valuable what the Lord has to say to us is, right? Okay. And now another beautiful and valuable thing the Lord has given us is the Lord's Supper, which we're about to observe now. If I can get the